Have you ever killed a succulent and then felt like you were completely doomed as a plant parent? That was actually my experience 8 years ago when I was a plant killer and stopped trying to care for houseplants because I couldn't keep succulents alive, even though everybody talked about how succulents were the foolproof plant. Well, that happens to not be the case and is one of the reasons why so many people have their hearts broken about houseplants just because they didn't choose the right plant or they didn't have a few key things set up for that succulent to thrive. So today, we're talking to my plant friend and the succulent queen, Abby, of Abby's Garden Parties, to set the record straight about why succulents actually aren't a foolproof plant, but are very easy to care for when you have a few essential things that they need to thrive. Abby even does a planty matchmaking session at the end of the episode to pair your plant parent personality with the ideal succulent for you. So stay tuned. It's a great conversation. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. I am here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And today we are talking about succulents, which are actually probably the least joyful plant for me. I am one of those people who can't keep a succulent alive and used to identify as a plant killer because I couldn't keep succulents alive, even though everybody used to say they're the easiest plant. They're so hard to kill. Abby, the founder of Abby's Garden Parties, is an accidental entrepreneur whose love for succulents really bloomed into this really amazing concept of the business that she has that she's going to talk about surrounding succulents and terrariums. I recently met her at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show when we were co-hosting House of Plants together, and I instantly knew that she would be a plant friend of mine and also that I needed to introduce you to her for her to be a plant friend of yours too. So this episode is all about succulents and how to stop killing them, to identify whether or not succulents are even the right plant for you, and also if they are the right plant for you, which succulents you should gravitate towards. Abby is so inspiring. She's so fun. She's so high vibe. It's a delightful conversation, and make sure you listen till the end because we do go through the matchmaking session where she will take my five plant parent personalities and make really interesting succulent recommendations for them. So without further ado, here's Abby. My new plant friend, welcome. I'm so excited to talk succulents with you today.
I am always happy to talk about succulents.
I feel so lucky to have connected with you. We were both co-hosting the House of Plants at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show in Seattle. And as I've gotten to know you, you have such a fun and interesting business and story. For those people who don't know you already, can you share how you became the succulent queen that you are today?
Absolutely. I live in Indiana. And when you think of Indiana,
not succulent central.
Yeah. Not succulents, but my succulent and plant love started in the Midwest. I went to the University of Michigan and I needed a blow off class my senior year. And so I took botany. And let me tell you, I didn't even know we had greenhouses on campus. That's wow. How unattuned to the plant world I was. Hmm. But went in there and fell in love with plants. But as life got on, life got really busy. And I needed low care plants. And I just always loved succulents. So succulents are such a great plant because in general, they're easy to care for and pretty low maintenance, but you can still enjoy the beauty. I did go on to work a corporate job for many years, still loved plants. And then this all kind of came to being. My business is my daughter wanted a terrarium. This was during COVID. And I'm like, let's go make one. Let's go get all the stuff. Let's get some succulents. And we had so much fun picking everything out and putting it together. And we made a terrarium and she showed our next door neighbor. And our next door neighbor was like, I'm actually having a birthday party next week. And we are doing, supposed to be a pool party and it's supposed to rain. And I said, we could do this. Why don't I bring the terrarium stuff over? So that was our first garden party. Fast forward, wow. This is 4 years later. We now have a store where we do garden parties. We do terrarium building. You can pop in during the week, just like you were taking a painting class or make a candle or something like that. You pop in here and make a terrarium. Through the 4 years, I have learned so much about succulents. We do wet terrariums, but most of what we do is dry terrariums. And that just means we're using succulents and they don't need to stay wet. So over the 4 years, I have learned a ton about succulents, how to care for them, because we have hundreds of them in the store, which ones are easy, which ones need certain special things. So my experience really comes from the hands-on experience of building people, helping them build terrariums, succulent terrariums almost every day. And then of course, these customers have followed me. So I have people that have built succulent terrariums 4 years ago, and they are still showing me pictures and stuff. So wow. We want to make sure we're learning what works, we're learning what's hardy, and we're learning how awesome succulents are.
That's amazing. Also, that's a crazy, talk about like the universe, God, whoever you talk to upstairs, mm-hmm. Talk about being like divinely led to this business, like literally just doing it with your daughter and then having your neighbor be like, will you do this for me? And just having the snowball effect of that. That is such a beautiful story.
It totally is. When we first started doing it, I started doing it out of my house as a side gig, and it just started to roll. Like other people wanted birthday parties. The next thing I know, a Girl Scout troop. The next thing, a team building activity. So it really grew naturally, and people are so interested in plants and succulents. But they're so overwhelmed. We get people in here every day that are like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have a green thumb. I don't know anything about plants. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of, I kill every plant, including cactuses. Like people use that as some type of, I can't keep a cactus alive, mm-hmm. but they're not getting any information on it. They're just buying it at, you know, a big box store maybe, or the grocery store checkout lane. So what I want to do, and part of my mission, is really to make it plants more accessible, starting with succulents, because they're so easy to deal with.
You know, it's interesting when it comes to succulents, because I actually had a different experience when I was in my plant killer era. You know, I brought succulents home because I was the person who also said, I can't keep a succulent alive. I can't keep a cactus alive, but I'll try one more time. I brought succulents home. I watered them too much and I would kill them. And then because I killed the succulent, I was like, well, succulents are supposed to be the easy plant to keep alive. So if I can't even keep the easy plant alive, I can't try any other types of plants. So why do you think succulents have a bad rap like that?
I think because people don't realize how much little water they are. 9 times out of 10, when someone brings me a plant, because I do plant consultations as well, and it's a succulent, they are overwatering it. It really is an overwater. And that doesn't only mean they're literally putting too much water in it. It just means that too much water is staying in there. So sometimes it's the type of soil. Sometimes it's a pot with no drainage. So yes, I say it's a watering issue a lot of times, mm-hmm. but it can be, why is it getting too much water? So that's what we really look into. Because, you know this, plants don't go on a schedule. You can't water them on the schedule. So that's something we look at here, is how to really care for a succulent without putting it on a strict schedule. What we say, we joke, is most people just love their succulents so much. They just over love them. And that's how they end up murdering them, is they smother them or they drown them, because they want to care for them so much.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That was totally my experience. And that's actually why I created my plant parent personality types, because if you're someone like I was that wants to water their plants every day, succulents might not be the best choice for you, or you might need to do a specific succulent. But for my low maintenance plant parent, it's perfect. But I'm excited. Stay tuned until the end of the episode, because you're going to match make with me and you've come up with succulent options for each of my personality types, which I'm so excited about. But before we dive into that, let's get into like, what is a succulent and the care guidelines. So what makes a succulent? I think that's something that confuses people as well.
Absolutely. And the word succulent isn't a taxonomy group in plants. It mm-hmm. actually just means that it has sap. Like the word literally is Latin for sap. And what that means is that it is holding water. So a succulent is just any plant that has adapted to store water. And that can be in its leaves, its stem, or even in some cases, in its roots. So versus like, let's say like a house plant, a tropical plant, where they have those thin leaves, a succulent is holding on to water. And that's why they've adapted to all these funny shapes and sizes, because they're just trying to hold on to as much water as they can. So just think of succulent is sap. It's holding on to some type of liquid in there.
It's why so many of their leaves are so chubby. They're so, you know, that echeveria, so many succulents are so cute because they're so chubby. And it's because, you know, that's an adaptation that those plants can store water, you know, and cacti as well. So what about cacti versus succulents?
That is a great question. A lot of people get confused. So if you think of it, succulent is the overarching umbrella category that just means it's retaining water. Under that, there are thousands of different plant types. One of those is cactus. Okay, so a cactus is a type of succulent, but not all succulents are cactuses. A really good way to tell, and we have a separate shelf for our cactuses in this store because most cactuses have adapted. Instead of having those chubby, fun leaves, instead of leaves, they have spines. So they're going to have those pokies on them, whether it's a big poker or a little poker. That is the main difference, spine versus leaves.
I'm giggling because if anybody follows me on Instagram, you'll have seen a reel that I posted with Abby at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show where we did the blind plant identification test. So we put blindfolds on each other and we gave each other plants and we had to guess the plants based off of our blindfolds. And I was so cruel. I gave, but you're the succulent girl. So I was like,
I knew you guys were going to give me a
prize. But I gave her the booby cactus because obviously that's like a very easy, like, you know, the booby cactus, that's a shape if you feel that's very easy, but it totally had spines. And I was like, Abby, be careful. I'm giving you a pokey one.
And I have poked myself so many times in the store. So if anyone grabs a cactus here, we have cactus gloves. We even have children's size cactus gloves. But I am the guilty one who'll just go grab something for someone and get poked. So I just joke, reminds me that I'm alive. I'm like, whoa, okay. So typically they're not going to hurt you. As you said, I mean, in terms, it will hurt as long as we get it out and keep it from infection. But only once have we had a customer here really get one in their finger. And it was their fault.
Yeah, and it was their fault. So whatever. Okay, so we've established what succulents are and how cute and chubby they are and why they're great for arrangements. They're great for terrariums. They're great for windowsills. I feel like they're great for kids. So what do we need to know? Because I've killed a bunch of succulents, right? Like I have no succulents in my collection. I think I have one.
Really? Cactus. We're going to have to change that. I'm going to have to send you one of those booby cactuses.
I know, I need a booby cactus. I have one cactus actually, and it's a cactus. Summer Rain Oaks gave it to me 7 years ago because she she filmed something at my house. She came to my apartment and filmed something. And as a thank you, she gave me this little cactus in this tiny terracotta pot. I still have it. It's definitely doubled in size, but it's the only cactus I've had.
Okay, so there's three things I talk about when I have someone, when I'm educating someone on succulent care. The first thing about it is water, okay? The big thing is that succulents need a dry cycle. So they need a time where they are completely dry and are not wet at all. Unlike many of those plants behind Maria that like to be watered when they're two-thirds of the way dry or a third of the way dry. Succulents have to dry out. So my key, and I always tell people, is never rewater your terrarium and never rewater a succulent unless you check to make sure it's dry first. Typically an easy way, if you don't have a moisture meter, and those can be unreliable, I just take a chopstick. I just take a chopstick, especially in our bigger terrariums, and I just stick it down. And just like if you were making brownies and you were sticking a toothpick in to see if they were ready, you're going to pull that out, that chopstick. And if there's any soil connected, sticking to that chopstick and it's still wet, and especially with a wooden chopstick, it's great. You can see if there's any moisture, then do not rewater. Then the other misconception about it is when you do water, you want to drench that, okay? They're used to desert and then monsoon.
And monsoon, torrential desert rains.
So much rain, raining coming through it. So what'll happen is people tell me, oh, I have a cactus and it died. When do you water it? Oh, you know, I'll give it a water here. It looks a little dry. I'll give it some of my drink or whatever. That is like the worst thing you can do. The other thing is misting. Misting does nothing for your cactus.
Yeah.
Most of their leaves are waterproof. They don't like humidity. So why are you creating humidity, even though misting doesn't do a great job of humidity? So those are my tips with watering. You're going to water it when it's dry and you're going to give it a thorough watering. Now, I water most of my big ones. I bottom water. So just set it in and let it sop up the water from the bottom. In our terrariums that are closed or don't have drainage,
we water from the top. Watering here in Indiana, I like to use rainwater, or I have a reverse osmosis. Most of the country probably doesn't have this problem, but we have really hard water in Indiana, and our succulents hate hard water. It's a different, slightly different pH than they're used to. So if you can, and it's not too big of a trouble, at least every other time, try to use either distilled water, reverse osmosis, or rainwater. So that's the water. Light is the second thing. Mm-hmm. So light with a cactus, which is fun, is we have a south-facing window in the store. They love direct light. So you can put a cactus in direct light. So it might be a window. My front window actually burns tropical plants. It gets so much light. So we put all cactuses in the front window for that exact reason.
You know, it's stressful times, and we've got Mother's Day, Father's Day, wedding, celebrations coming up, and it is time to get some gifts. And what I really wish that I had is a magic wand that could take all of my loved ones' stress away and make their life more simple, more soothing, more calming. And unfortunately, plant friends, that magic wand doesn't exist yet, but I have found the next best thing, and it's Wind River Wind Chimes. So for the last couple of years, these wind chimes have truly turned my home into a sanctuary. Whenever I hear them blowing in the wind, it is this gentle moment to take a deep breath, to pause, to exhale, to be present. They have brought me so much joy and relaxation, and I am gifting that joy and relaxation to everyone in my life right now. I cannot imagine a better gift to give this Mother's Day, this Father's Day, for upcoming weddings, upcoming graduations, especially because when you use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout, you get a free engraving on the wind sail of the wind chime that you get. And you can engrave that wind sail with a special message, a date, a name, and in memory of. And it makes the wind chime so special. And also it makes whoever you gifted the wind chime to think of you every time it blows in the wind. I just gave my mom one for Christmas, actually. And I engraved her favorite saying, "I'm a lot of fun," on the wind chime, and she is absolutely obsessed with it. So gift your loved one something they're obsessed with this season and something that relaxes them with a Wind River Wind Chime, and get that free engraving. So you're going to go to windriverchimes.com and use code GROWINGJOY at checkout for your free engraving. It's a gift that is going to soothe the soul of whoever you're gifting it to. Once again, that's windriverchimes.com with code GROWINGJOY at checkout for that free engraving. So today's episode is all about succulents. Plant friends, if you've ever overwatered a succulent, if you're guilty of overwatering succulents like I am, you should make sure that you are planting your succulent in succulent mix, in cactus mix. And things changed for me with succulents when I started using Espoma Organics cactus potting mix for all of my succulents, all of my cacti, and all of my citrus. When Abby talks about the fact that you need an aerated soil, this cactus mix by Espoma Organic is the mix that you should be going to. After Abby did her like sold out talk about succulents at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, I was in the Espoma booth, and we had so many people actually coming to the booth being like, "I need the succulent mix. I need the cactus mix." Because the secret to these healthy, happy succulents isn't just how you water them. It's what you're planting them in and what you're watering through. This isn't just an average potting mix. It's a specially blended mix that drains fast, dries out quickly, just what succulents need. It's made with organic ingredients like peat moss, sand, perlite to mimic the desert environments that they naturally thrive in. And it also has Espoma's signature mycotone, which is a blend of mycorrhizae that helps roots grow strong and resilient. It's fabulous, plant friends. You got to try it. It's the orange bag. So whether you're repotting a string of pearls, jade, or maybe even a booby cactus, reach for Espoma Organic Cactus Mix. You're going to love it. You can find it in two different ways. You can go to espoma.com and see the local garden center near you that carries Espoma, or you can click the link in the show notes and go to my Amazon storefront where I have a curated list of my Espoma favorites, and the cactus mix is obviously in it because I use it all the time. Grow succulents the right way and do it in Espoma Organic Cactus Mix.
If you don't have a lot of light, you can get a grow light. I'm sure Maria's talked about those before. You want a bright grow light for a succulent. So I like to look, when you look at it, make sure it has 2000 lumens is what you're going to look for, because you want bright light. Now, a lot of succulents will do okay in indirect light. I kind of think of the light this way. It is the food for the plant. So if you want your succulent to grow big and strong, you're going to give it more light. This is with a succulent, maybe not for a houseplant, but big and strong, it needs more food, more light. If you put it in low light, it might survive. Mm-hmm. Like a snake plant is a perfect example of this. A snake plant is a succulent, right? And people are like, low light, low light, low light. They are fine. They will tolerate. They'll be there in your doctor's office in a corner forever doing fine. But if you take that snake plant and put it in bright light, oh my gosh, will it take off and look gorgeous?
Mm-hmm. It will bloom.
Oh my gosh, bloom. People come in here and they're like, why are all these cactuses and succulents blooming? It's like, because they have enough light.
Yep.
Right. Totally. So we always get things. We'll get things from a wholesaler and I'll put them under my lights and they're so bright that within a week we'll get things blooming sometimes when it's the right time of year. So yeah, bright light.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have Thanksgiving cactus, which I guess is also a succulent that has been in bloom for 4 months because I have it under a grow light. So it's not experiencing the photo period change that it needs. So I benefit because it's always been in bloom. So you know, I think with a lot of people, their entry into succulents is getting like a succulent arrangement at a Whole Foods. I specifically remember that was one of my entries. There was like a succulent arrangement at a Whole Foods that I went home with. Or you always see these little succulent arrangements, even at a florist. And then they put it on their coffee table that's like far away from a light source. So are there low light tolerant succulents? Like, can you kind of walk us through high light, medium light, low light tolerant succulents genera that you might suggest?
Absolutely. There's a couple to look out for. So low light is going to be like a snake plant or a ZZ plant is another option that, again, if you put it in bright light, it'll go faster. But if you need something for low light, that will be fine. Conversely, we get tons of people bringing their strings of pearls in here. And I will tell you, she is a diva.
Yeah,
and
it's a tough one.
She needs light. Yeah. So 9 times out of 10, when someone brings me their string of pearls, they make a mistake is they hang it really high in a window and it doesn't get any light on the top of the plant. Mm-hmm. It is only getting light on the few tendrils. Maybe it's a lot of tendrils, but if you're trying to grow it, few tendrils that are hanging down. So the light is not enough for that. So if you want a string of pearls, don't put that in low light. Now, most of those echeveras or those things you'll see, Haworthia is another one that can withstand some really lower light. So that's the one, it's kind of spiky. And I see a lot of arrangements with those. My general rule for your home is if you're bringing a succulent arrangement home, wherever you put it in your house, I want you to be able to open a book and read it in that room comfortably without turning on the overhead light or a lamp. If you can't read a book in your living room without turning on a light or a lamp, then that's not enough light for your succulent, especially an arrangement with multiple succulents. So move it somewhere else or, you know, there's all types of grow lights and different things you can do to change that. But a lot of times these succulents are just not getting enough light in our homes, especially in winter.
Ugh. I'm going to totally blow up my own spot because you just inspired me. But I moved to Florida. I'm in a rental, thank goodness. And we love our rental house as we kind of, you know, get accustomed to Florida living. But something that I did not, you know, when I was house shopping, I went to every window exposure. What window exposure is this? And are they southern? Where's the southern window? Where's the northern window? But what I didn't put together is that basically my living room is in the center of the house. So there are no windows in my living room because like all of the other rooms are on the other side of the living room and I can't read in my living room. And it's broken my heart because I can't really put plants in my living room unless I put some grow lights in, which I'm open to doing. But I do have one plant arrangement in my living room that is like the lowest light plants. And I kind of just know it's like on its way to a slow death. I like picked the lowest light tolerant plants that I could. And I'm like, you're going to hang in there for as long as possible. Right. Or maybe I'll put it, you know, I'll rotate it and put it in another room with light and then bring it back. But already I can see like the plants or even a fern is like not doing very well in it.
The other thing we've done in the store and I've suggested to customers is you can get grow lights that just screw into your overhead lights.
Yep.
So the front of our store gets a ton of light because we have this huge window, but the back of the store doesn't. So that was an easy solution is just swapping out regular light bulbs in a living room.
Floor lamps. That's what I need to do. I just haven't like, then you got to put it on a timer. It's the last frontier, my living room. It's fine. We have plants everywhere else. But anyway, enough about me. Back to our succulent conversation. So are there any succulents that only can go in high light? Like if you know, we have a lot of listeners that have only bright indirect light or low light homes, and I don't want them bringing home the wrong plant accidentally. So are there any, like, I would say, you know, for other plants, like, don't bring a fiddle leaf fig home unless you have a high light. So what would you say on the succulent side of that?
I would say any of the string of things. So anything in the Snoko family or anything really light in color or variegated. So the love for variegation has moved over to the succulent world. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of new variegants I haven't seen before. So just remember, anything that's variegated, that white part is not photosynthesizing, right? It's not able to make that green turn green and photosynthesize. With the rest of the plant, the green part is doing a lot more work. So I would never put a variegated succulent in a dark area. Those have to have bright light. And the other thing we see is the string of things. If someone makes a succulent arrangement here with five things, the first thing that's going to go if something goes wrong is always the string of things. So whether it's, now some of them are better than others, but string of pearls, string of turtles. We had the variegated string of hearts, the pink ones over Valentine's Day. I always just say, if you're going to put that in, that's fine, but you need a bright light area because those string of things are going to be the first to go. So as a general rule, I tell people, if you have a low light area and you're picking out plants for your succulent terrarium, the darker green something is, the less constant exposure to light, right? So look for something dark.
So that brings up a great thing because I want to ask you about colors, because I remember the first time I went to California and I was in succulent heaven, I was seeing pink succulents, I was seeing purple succulents, blue succulents, white succulents. I mean, succulents come in every single color you could possibly imagine, but you just mentioned the lighter succulents need more light. So can you talk briefly about color and succulents as well?
Absolutely. So pink succulents were really in last year, everything pink. And you had to be careful that because pink is actually a sign of stress in some succulents. So it was seeing that. Also was seeing online people changing the colors. And we probably have all seen the horror of the painted succulents at the big box store where people will literally, those are not natural colors. They are painting some of those succulents to achieve those colors. So I would say avoid anything, but then you can get echeveras like Pearl von Nerberg is one we always carry here. It is bred for this beautiful pink color. Mm-hmm. But again, that's one that I would want a little more light. So the dark, just as a general rule, the darker green a plant is, the less light it's going to need, the more tolerant to low light. Any of those really pinky, purple, sometimes is a sign of stress, but also if it's bred for it and it's not because it's a sign of stress, I treat it like a variegated plant, that it's going to need a decent amount of light.
Love that. Okay, cool. One other question before we go into light. Sorry, light is such a pain point for people. So one other question. Let's talk about stretching and etiolation, because I've definitely had people show me, like friends who like know that I'm a plant lady, like not listeners, but they're like, I wanted to show you, I got this succulent and it's growing. It's taking off. So it's growing like crazy. And they send me this picture of this like unbelievably stretched succulent. So can you, I'm like, great job. What would you say when it comes to that?
Yeah. So you're right. It is stretching. So I tell people even which way they put their terrarium is going to matter because your plants are going to succulents stretch to see the sun. Mm-hmm. So if something is very stretched out and the way you can tell if it's stretching is not only is it stretching and there's a lot of space between each node. If you look at it and the spaces are getting bigger between the nodes. So you've got some growth at the bottom and as it's growing taller, there's more space between leaves and it keeps getting bigger. That is a sign that you're not getting enough light. And yeah, it's an easy solution though, if you have a window with light or get a grow light. So we have to go back to remembering that succulents are plants that have adapted to living in the desert over thousands of years, right? Where they're getting a ton of light. So we bring them in our houses. We got to make sure they're having enough light.
Totally. So, okay, now I will let you talk about soil as you've been trying.
I'm really excited about soil. Like, wait, sorry. I'm like, let me talk about the soil.
Please tell me. But soil is very important. That's also, I drowned a lot of succulents in pots with no drainage holes. So I would love for you to talk about the importance of drainage and soil.
Absolutely. So your soil, as we teach Girl Scouts here, and we always say, it's not the same as Indiana. If you went and dug up soil in Indiana here, which is great for growing corn and soybeans and some other produce, but we have a very clay. My county is actually called Clay County. Our soil is full of clay. So a succulent needs soil that's going to be like a desert. So I typically tell people we carry a line of soil at the store, but anything that says succulent soil, if you're repotting something big, anything that says succulent soil should be okay. But you want to make sure you are using succulent soil. Do not use your houseplant soil. You're not going to plant necessarily in the same thing. Most succulent soils, when you look at the bag at the store, you'll see the ingredients, but the difference is they're going to have bark, they're going to have sand, and then they're going to have something for moisture control and aeration. A lot of times it's either going to be a perlite or pumice, something that's natural, but is going to absorb some of that extra moisture for when you have a situation where you don't have a pot that has drainage. It's going to have sand in it. It's going to be very light and airy. We tell people over time that their dry terrarium might look like, where did all the soil go? Because the soil has so much air in it, over time, gravity actually will compact it. Mm-hmm. So you want to just make sure you have something that says succulent soil. If you want to make your own, that's fun. I used to make my own. We go through so much here that I got a little lazy and stopped making my own. So I actually buy it in bulk. But you just want to make sure it's something that says succulent soil. I also like, we use a soil that has fertilizer in it. And this is kind of goes with soil is fertilization. So succulents, we make it so complicated. We don't need to complicate fertilizer, okay? Literally just get anything that says succulent fertilizer and put it, most of them are a concentrate. You put it in the water. I only fertilize in the spring. So when I water, most of our succulents, we water once a month. Or every 2 weeks, depending on pot size. We are putting just in the spring to early summer fertilizer. And the difference between something that says fertilizer for succulents versus just a regular plant fertilizer is the amount of nitrogen in them. So when you look into fertilizers, they'll have, you know, NPK, and then they'll have numbers next to them. And that's the percent, of each. So when you're looking at a succulent soil, the only difference is they have less nitrogen. And because of how they're grown, how they've adapted to this desert soil, they just don't require as much nitrogen as other plants. Giving them a regular plant fertilizer isn't just going to be like the death of them or anything. It just means they might get a little too much nitrogen, which actually causes them to grow too fast is the funny thing. It doesn't actually cause them, they're slow growers in the desert. So that's another way the nitrogen comes in. We always tell people in here, a lot of these are slow growers. You buy some of these plants, they're going to look the same for a while. So if we tell people, like when they're picking out their succulents, I'll ask them, do you want something that's going to change a lot? And you're going to see things pop up and bloom and new leaves, because some of these will look exactly the same and grow really slowly. So that's something kind of like your plant personality that we look at.
That's fascinating. Okay, so you know how in spring everything starts to feel lighter? I switch my hot coffee to my iced coffee. I start drinking more smoothies. I try and align my food with the fresh, vibrant energy of spring. Well, one of the biggest supports for these swaps that I make to still make them delicious is Manukora honey. You've heard me talk about them on this podcast. I'm obsessed. I use it almost every day. It's my secret ingredient in my morning iced coffee and in my smoothies. So I make a dupe of the very well-known brown sugar shake an espresso from a well-known barista. We won't name names. You take a spoonful of this rich, creamy honey by Manukora. You add espresso or coffee, your milk of choice, and ice. You shake it up so it gets frothy. It is so freaking good. Or I drizzle it over a smoothie bowl, or I put it in a smoothie. And honestly, in the middle of the afternoon, I will take a spoonful of Manukora honey and just eat it. eat it right off the spoon raw for a midday energy boost. But Manukora honey isn't your average honey that you get from a honey bear. It's ethically harvested from the remote forests in New Zealand, and it's packed with powerful nutrients that support your immunity and your gut health. It has 3 times the antioxidants and prebiotics of regular honey. Plus, it's tested for potency, so you know exactly what you're getting, and it has never been easier to try Manukora honey for you plant friends. They are offering us a great deal. You can go to manukora.com/bloom to get $25 off the starter kit, which comes with their 850 plus Manukora honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are low-key amazing for a weekend away, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's Manukora, M-A-N-U-K-O-R-A, manukora.com/bloom for $25 off your starter kit. You will not be disappointed. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. With your terrariums, you're probably not doing pots with drainage holes. So how do you recommend watering if you are putting succulents in a terrarium or in a pot with no drainage?
So we always do a drainage layer here. So any of our glass pots, the first thing you do is a drainage layer.
Okay.
So that can either be rocks or sand or LECA or perlite. Anything that is going, you're basically going to try to absorb any extra moisture. Mm-hmm. But we always do usually we do an inch. You don't need a lot. If you're doing a clear like terrarium, then we do about an inch. Sometimes we'll do different color sands and make it pretty. And then our soil has charcoal and some other stuff that you would need in a terrarium already mixed in. But even if you were repotting something at home, I would put in some type of drainage layer before and then plant your plants in your succulent soil, which also is going to help with drainage. And then when your succulent dries, you are going to give it a good watering. You just want to make sure that you are getting all the way down to the bottom of where the soil is with your water. And then again, the key is not necessarily how often you're watering it. We don't have a hard once a month, every 2 weeks. In the store, we do check them every 2 weeks and every month. But again, you want to make sure that all that water is dried out and that drainage layer should help with that.
Got it. What are the biggest mistakes that you see people make when it comes to caring for succulents?
Overwatering. And like we said, I think we touched on that a little bit, but like, man, the ones you ignore, I joke. And even as a succulent professional, my home, we were talking about homes. If I had rebought my home today, my home is 12 years old. I would have had something with better windows and a sunroom. And my only south-facing windows are in my teenage son's rooms.
What a waste.
Yeah. So I actually put a succulent in one of my son's room and I closed the drapes And I forgot about it for like months. And I went in and I saw it and it looked excellent. It was embarrassing. We had literally forgotten about this plant.
Yeah.
And it looked so good. And it had been, we were trying to figure out like at least 2 months till I'm like, Alex, do you ever water this plant? He's like, no. You know, so it's like, just give them their space. They need some space. Leave them alone. Stop futzing with them. And if you are going to change something, this is the other thing, people will come in. And they'll have changed, like the plant's not doing well. So they will have changed where they're putting it, the soil, yes, the pot, the watering. I'm like, you're changing too many variables on me, okay? So I will tell someone when their plant is not doing well, we're going to change just one thing. Usually it's watering to start with. But sometimes if it's we think it's a light issue, we might just change the light and not the watering and then give it time, okay? It's not like a peace lily, a succulent, where you're going to water it and overnight it's going to go from all floppy to like, wee. So you got to give it some time.
Totally. Oh my God. Totally. I want to do matchmaking. So you went through my personalities and came up with plant recommendations. So I'd love to hear your thought. Let's start with the basics. So let's start with low maintenance plant parents. So this is someone who I would naturally say you need succulents. So the most drought tolerant, easy care version.
Absolutely. And a lot of people would tell you just to go to a ZZ plant or a snake mm-hmm. plant because those are known to be easy. I would go to those, but I actually love for a low maintenance person, a jade plant. Because jades, if they get enough light, they are actually pretty resilient. We have jades on the succulent bar here. And whenever someone sends me a picture and maybe one plant isn't doing well, it's never the jade, okay?
Yeah.
Taking care of herself. She is growing. And even if you're low maintenance, they can still thrive with a little bit of neglect. So, and they grow pretty cute. And there's different varieties. Here we have what I call Shrek ears, the one looks like Shrek's ears, the Gollum mm-hmm. jade. We have a variegated jade. We have a couple different varieties and they're a strong plant. So
I
want something easy and maybe, you know, and you can start a jade small and it can get really big. So it's kind of fun.
That's beautiful. Yeah, they're so forgiving. I've had one my entire time as a plant collector and it's nice. The most forgiving plant. What about the curious collector? So someone who is interested in the new, unique, interesting varieties.
So we love weird cactuses and weird plants here. So it was hard for me to pick one, but I will say the most popular thing that people pick here for a lot of times when we're doing three plants, we'll say a filler, a spiller, and a thriller. Mm-hmm. People are like, what's a thriller? I'm like, the thriller is the one that someone, when they look at that arrangement, is going to go, oh my gosh, it's such a weird looking plant, or that's such a cool looking plant.
Yeah.
So we love for that lithops, which are living stones. Mm-hmm. So and if you've seen pictures, I'll tell you my teenage son called them butt plants. And we have a bunch of
exactly what they are.
They look like a little butt. So they're so fun. And they
split bloom comes out of.
Exactly. It goes well. And the funniest is when they bloom. So they usually bloom around October. And we had quite a few in the store blooming. And it looks like this ugly butt. And then it has this little dainty, either white or yellow flower coming out of the little crack.
Cool.
So it's such an ugly plant with such a pretty little dainty flower. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fun. So lithops and easy to care for, low water on those, and they're pretty tough.
I love that. Lithops is definitely something I've been very curious about. I've never had one because, once again, I'm scared of succulents, but I feel like I'm so attracted to their oddness, like how weird they are. And their blooms have so much character as well, you know? So
they are a fun, curious plant.
Yeah, totally. Okay, what about the design-based plant parent? So this is someone who wants, you know, a very unique statement plant in their home.
I would go with a big echeverra, and you mentioned the color of them earlier. So if you're looking for something stunning, some people come in here and they're just making a terrarium for fun. Some people are like, this is going as a centerpiece in my house and we'll make a large terrarium. And even multiple echeverras together looks so pretty. Beautiful. And that's really that shape, that rosette shape adds beauty. It's stylish. And it's really, I feel like when people build a terrarium, if you're looking for a modern looking terrarium, those are a beautiful option.
I love that. What about the mind? So this is, I'm so curious to hear what your answer is, the mindful plant parent. So the person that might be prone to overwatering their succulents, right? Someone who wants to really engage with their plants on a daily basis. What would you suggest for that?
So I would say Haworthias in general, because they are fun, they are hearty, they are, but specifically, I always think, I call my mindful plant is I have a, it's called a cathedral window, or people call it a stained glass window, Haworthia. So it is
gorgeous.
gorgeous. And when the light hits it, so if you're looking for something, maybe it's in your yoga space. We have a yoga studio across the street. I gave them one. Something that really is just going to make you think and mindful and thoughtful. These cathedral succulents, any of these like Haworthias that are kind of see-through, when the light hits them, they'll make like a really, that's why it's called stained glass or cathedral. It will make a really pretty light pattern of geometric shapes on the ground. So I really think specifically the cathedral window Haworthia would be wonderful for a mindful plant.
Beautiful. I love that. That's funny because when I was in my mindful plant parent era, I had one of those Haworthias because I was mesmerized by the see-through aspect of it and how beautiful it was. So beautiful. And then last but not least, the urban farmer. So someone who wants to grow either their own food indoors or grow flowers indoors.
Absolutely. So I would say an agave, and I have an agave at home, a big one. Be careful. People don't really, they're freaking sharp. So mine has points at the end that really would hurt you. But it's so fun. So agave nectar is used as sweetener. So if you want to play around with that, that is a great plant. It's kind of a step up. You can get an aloe, and there's a lot of fun little things you can do with aloes as an urban farmer. But I thought the agave is the next step. And of course, there's certain varieties of agave you can use to make tequila.
Fitting my favorite spirit.
Exactly. So how fun is that? I mean, now that we have the idea, I think we might have to look into actually doing that. You have to get certain types of agave. So you have to look up what the certain ones are to make tequila. I made wine years ago. My husband went through a beer brewing, homebrew beer, where he had stuff fermenting in our living room in a 5-gallon bucket. Would be fun. But even if you don't go the tequila route, you could try to make your own sweetener, which I think would be really fun. Agave.
I love the sweetener idea. I grew stevia and didn't care for it in my garden last year. So I like this idea of going agave instead, because I'm a big agave person.
Right. So agave nectar is super expensive too, if you just buy it at the store at Whole Foods or whatever. But agave would be a fun one. And then for plant care, they're really hardy plants too. So they need a decent amount of light, but they don't need a lot of care. So I water my agave at home I check it once a month, and I usually water it once a month.
Wow, that's amazing. This has been so fun. You are so fun. I'm so happy to have met you, plant friend. I hope we have many conversations. I'd love to have you back on for a terrarium episode in the future. Where can people find you? Because yes, you have a brick and mortar store, but you make great Instagrams. I'm like a number one follower of yours. So where can everyone find you?
Thank you. So yeah, my store page, but I also give plant tips on it. So, and a lot of them are just things people that we hear in the store and we want to clear up confusion or myths or help you on your plant journey. Specifically, succulents is most of what we do, but we do some other ones. So it's Abby's Garden Parties, and on Instagram and on Facebook, it's ABBYS. Garden Parties. And that's our website as well. If you ever do find yourself in Indiana, you can come terrarium build. You make a reservation online and you come in and we build together.
My God, so fun. Well, until next time when we have a terrarium talk, thanks for being here.
Lee, appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you so much, Abby. She's the greatest. She's so sweet. We were instant friends when I met her. She's so fun. I love this idea of her garden party, her space. I wish that I had a place that I could go decompress and make a terrarium when I had a stressful day. It sounds amazing. I want to host my birthday party there. I wish Indiana was closer to Florida, even though we're like 6 hours apart. All of the links to Abby's socials and the links to her location, if you're near her, will be in the show notes. Go follow her too. She makes really funny social media content. I hope this inspires you. I hope either this episode helps you care for the succulents that you already have better. Maybe you're putting them in more light. Maybe you're being more mindful of the soil that you're putting them in. Or if you've been scared of succulents like I have been, maybe it inspires you to pick the right succulent for you. Or maybe you realize that succulents aren't your journey, and that's okay, plant friends. However you're showing up for this episode and for your plant collection, I am A-okay with, and I'm so honored to be part of your journey. If you have a friend who's a succulent killer, send them this episode. I hope it helps. I know this is a huge embarrassment and pain point for a lot of people. And by the way, if you've been enjoying the content lately, send the content to your friends. Let's spread the word about the Growing Joy with Plants podcast so we can reach as many planty people across the world as possible and help everyone keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.